In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Throughout the Paschal Triduum, the Church set before us as a constant companion and guide the theme of light. It was there in the ceremonies of Tenebrae, when the candles were gradually extinguished, to plunge us, figuratively and literally, into the darkness of the night. It was there in the gloaming of the Mass of the Lord's Supper and in the shadows of its altar of repose. It was strikingly absent from the solemn liturgy of Good Friday, save when the cross and the Blessed Sacrament were brought forth for our veneration and communion. And it was there, of course, in all its sorts and forms and splendors, in the great vigil of Easter, blazing in its fire, glowing atop its candle, held proudly in the hands of the faithful, and passed poignantly to the newly baptized, who in that most holy night became themselves bearers of the one true light, the risen Christ. That light, which the Exultet extols as the morning star who never sets, burns before us today as the praying church's preeminent symbol of the same living Lord. And it will continue to shed its luster and heat as we attend to the foremost duty of our Christian lives in worship from now until the day of Pentecost. All the many things that could be said of the abundant symbolism of this flame would fill countless volumes. This morning, let us consider just 3 points. The divine power of creation, the triumph of God over death, and the object of all authentic human desire, which is the hope of eternal salvation in the kingdom of heaven. First, this light is a reminder that all things come from God, and that all created things, therefore, owe him worship. In the creation narrative proclaimed anew at the Easter Vigil, the scriptures relate that after the Lord God had made the heavens and the earth, he uttered the words, "Fiat lux," let there be light, even before he set the sun and the moon in the sky. Pagan man saw the sun and moon as gods, modern man as mere consequences of the universe's expansion. We needn't reject reasonable scientific evidence to add mystical meaning to this, seeing that all of creation begins with a light that originates not from the created, but uncreated order. God is the first source of this light, which separated the chaos of darkness to bring about the first day. All things, therefore, come to be ordered by this light, defined by this light, seen in this light. The light is itself a guarantee of the divine presence of God, who sheds his rays into every corner of our human existence. This gives us a certain responsibility and reverence for the things of creation, precisely because of their divine origins. At the same time, it allows us to take up these created things as signs of God's goodness, to be further sanctified from their first natural purpose by a supernatural sacramental use: water, oil, wax, flax, wheat, grapes, all these things come from God. And so it is to God in justice that they are rendered in faithful acts of worship. Secondly, the light recalls for us the destruction of death. If the flame we perceive is a sign of the divine power of God, it is also necessarily an ensign of his dominion over all things. It is not for nothing that we call our God King, for his sovereign jurisdiction, like a light in a darkened room, touches all he has made, even death itself. Thus, he not only created man to be with him in a relationship of perfect harmony, but when we defiled his plan by our disobedience, he alone had the power to redeem us, to unbar the gates of paradise, and allow those made in his image and remade in his grace to return to their rightful place as children of light. This is, of course, the very action we performed at the baptismal font last night in such wonderful numbers. The light of Christ was shared with our new brothers and sisters in the Lord, illuminating their hearts and minds with the virtue of faith, fixing their eyes beyond the things of this world to the next in the virtue of hope, and bringing them the ardent glow and warmth of the Holy Spirit in the virtue of charity. The early church spoke often of baptism as a photismos, or illumination, not in the sense of mere human enlightenment, a getting to know yourself, but of divine awareness, of knowing God, of being known by God, and so of being united to God, joined not just as members of his household, that is, as servants, but as members of his divine family, as friends, or still more truly, as the very sons and daughters of which we endlessly sing in the great Paschal hymns of praise. Thirdly, the light is a signpost to our destiny as children of God, a destiny which is already begun. The light given each of us in baptism, whether hours, months, years, or decades ago, invites a profound participation even now in the eternal radiance of the presence of God, which we hope to experience in all its fullness in the kingdom of heaven. As bearers of the light of God, we are, each of us in this world, called to live this reality by partaking of holy things, chiefly the great gift of divine life itself in the Most Holy Eucharist. This abiding in the life of God in this world not only sanctifies us in preparation for an eternity in his divine presence in the next, but allows him to be present to others in the world through us, to be lights of the world, beacons of the Lord's divine presence in the midst of the fallenness and darkness of a society beset by sin and so often lost, looking only for the tiniest glimmer of light to lead back to a life of purpose and goodness and contentment. My dear friends in the risen Lord, as we come once more to the solemn celebration of this central feast of our lives as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, may the light of his death-defying power be rekindled in us through the graces we have received in the penances undertaken in Lent and by the sacraments in which we have been renewed in our Easter joy. May the light that radiates from this Paschal candle penetrate not only our minds, but also our hearts, filling us with an intimate knowledge of God's love for each and every one of us. And may that flame burn brightly within us, not just on this most joyful day, but throughout our lives, until we come to know that place where sorrow and pain are no more, neither sighing, but life everlasting.